I'm Carol Hills, and this is The World. Thanks for being with us on this July 4th. We're going to dip into the role that Russia played in, no, not what you think. We're actually going to look at how Russia helped the American colonists win their independence. But before we get to that, let's start with the news out of North Korea. That's Pyongyang's official news agency today, announcing that North Korea's scientists successfully test-fired an intercontinental ballistic missile. Jean Lee is an American reporter who worked inside the North Korean capital for the Associated Press. She's now with the Woodrow Wilson Center and based in Seoul, South Korea. Lee says the first reports about today's missile launch by the North appear to have been wrong.
Earlier this morning here in South Korea, the U.S. Pacific Command called it an intermediate range. However, analysts started looking at the trajectory. These are rocket experts, and I'm certainly not a rocket expert, but they started looking at the trajectory and were saying, wait a minute, the North Koreans shot this straight up. But if they had shot it the way that they would if they were going to strike something, it would be capable of reaching Alaska. And that would mean that it would be an intercontinental ballistic missile. You know, around this time, North Korea announced that they were going to have an announcement. And that was when I thought it must be an ICBM. And sure enough, they claimed it was an ICBM.
I mean, for some time now, we've been talking about North Korea's plans to develop a missile that could hit the U.S. mainland. Does this feel like a game-changing moment?
This is another very significant step. And it shouldn't come as a surprise. North Korea's leader, Kim Jong-un, specifically mentioned this in his New Year's Day speech. And New Year's Day is when the leader lays out what the goals and objectives are for the upcoming year. And he very clearly said that his scientists were in the final stages of test firing an intercontinental ballistic missile. So it shouldn't come as a surprise. But, you know, we have to keep in mind that every one of these tests just gets them closer to what is truly terrifying, and that is when they get a nuclear weapon small enough to put on one of these missiles that is designed to strike the mainland U.S. That would be something that would give them certainly more firepower and certainly be a threat to the region and threat to the world.
I mean, as you know, Donald Trump and South Korea's new president Moon Jae-in recently met. They did the usual thing. They called on North Korea to halt this sort of behavior. It doesn't seem to be working. What's the mood in South Korea right now?
Well, South Korea, I have to say, South Koreans are used to this. So you'd probably be surprised at how calm things are here. I think it's very interesting that the timing is not insignificant. This is North Korea's way of thumbing its nose at President Moon and President Trump, and also testing President Moon. They like the fact that he is the president, but they also want to put him through his paces. They want to make it hard for him so that we have to remember that this is all part of a larger game, all part of future negotiations. President Moon and President Trump said very clearly that they want to use tougher sanctions as a diplomatic tool to try to get North Korea to back down. Well, North Korea is thinking, well, then we're going to build this program as much as we can before we get to that point, because they both sides want to come to the table with a stronger hand. So I think this is what we're seeing, is this kind of race to get to the table with the strongest possible hand.
But this has been North Korea's pattern for years. Do people in South Korea, do they feel like, say, Trump and Moon Jae-in should try a different tactic?
That attitude really differs according to generation. The older generation that lived through the Korean War is extremely conservative, and the younger generation might be a bit more liberal. They're the ones who got President Moon into office. But President Moon has made it clear that he wants to try something different, that he wants to try to use a little bit of engagement and try to get the North Koreans to talk, and that he doesn't think that the past 10 years here in South Korea of a hardline stance and isolation has worked. And I think it is clear that in the past 10 years of isolation as a policy, that North Korea's program, its weapons program, has just grown exponentially. So I do think there's a feeling that there has to be a different tactic here. We're waiting. That is the million-dollar question. What is that magic solution? But I think there is a sense that, yes, we need to approach this in a different way, but do it very intelligently.
Jean Lee is a Korea expert with the Woodrow Wilson Center. She opened AP's first bureau in Pyongyang in 2012. Thanks, Jean.
Thank you so much.
So on that different way, here's what President Trump tweeted late last night. He suggested China should, quote, put a heavy move on North Korea and end this nonsense once and for all. Mary Kay Magstad was the world's China correspondent and now hosts our podcast, Whose Century Is It? Mary Kay, China has been ambivalent about putting pressure on North Korea and its nuclear program. Is there any indication that this latest ballistic missile test and Trump's call to action will nudge Chinese officials to take a harder stance?
So China has its own agenda, its own priorities when it comes to dealing with North Korea. And what China wants first and foremost is stability in the region. So, in fact, China's UN ambassador, Liu Jieyi, said that he thinks that tensions with North Korea could get out of control and China would like to see a de-escalation. But by that, he's not just talking about North Korea. He's talking also about the Trump administration and saying, look, you know, the sort of pressure that President Trump is talking about applying, including unilateral moves, possibly military moves, is not going to help stability in the region. When Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin met at the G20 meeting, they basically said to each other, look, you know, we want to see stability. We think it would be best if the United States stopped doing military exercises with South Korea, and then maybe we could also talk to North Korea about freezing its nuclear program. That's not what President Trump is talking about, but it is consistent with China's position over the last 20 years. I mean, China hosted the six-party talks, six rounds of talks, 2003 to 2007, bringing together North Korea, South Korea, Japan, China, Russia, and the United States. And China's goal during that time, it became very clear, was, you know, we want to have a stable North Korean neighbor on our border. We don't want to have a unified Korea that's pro-U.S. on our border. We would prefer that all of Korea is denuclearized, but that also includes taking out any U.S. nuclear capability that could potentially threaten China. So we're really talking about two very different things. When President Trump talks to President Xi Jinping, and the two of them seem to be saying, yes, you know, this is a concern, they're not talking about the same concern.
What happens if President Trump, as he seems to indicate, moves to pressure North Korea on his own?
So that's a really interesting question, and it begs the question of what precisely he would do. If it were to be turning to military options, there are very few military options that wouldn't provoke a response from North Korea that could jeopardize South Korea in some way. North Korea certainly has artillery that can reach Seoul and other missiles that can reach other parts of South Korea. Just in the last few days, the United States did slap sanctions on China's Bank of Dandong. Dandong is a border town, and there's a lot of trade between China and North Korea. The border is very porous. Now, it is true that last year in 2016, China did restrict imports of some North Korean materials that are, you know, the revenue that North Korea was getting from these exports was important to North Korea's economy, things like coal, iron, iron ore, gold, titanium, rare earths. But aside from that, there always does seem to be something that gets through the border. There is black market trading. And, you know, in a way, China's always kind of kept its options open when it comes to sanctions. It imposes them when there's a particular moment when China wants to make a point to North Korea, but it doesn't want to see the regime collapse. It doesn't want that kind of instability across the border. So it always, you know, sort of keeps a door or a window open.
So where is the pressure to be put on North Korea? I mean, this is the 11th missile test this year, and nothing seems to halt North Korea's pursuit of nuclear capabilities.
Right. So I think it's important to remember that this is part of a continuum. This has been going on for 25 years that North Korea has been trying to build up a nuclear program. And the pace has been accelerating under Kim Jong-un. That's absolutely true. He's had more missile tests than his dad and his granddad combined. But I think China looks at this as being a long game. And it's like this is something to be managed. It's not an acute crisis to be, you know, sort of stopped in its tracks at this particular moment. And in fact, China could also see this as an opportunity where, you know, China ends up being more of a leader in the region than the United States is. In terms of what the pressure point is with North Korea from the U.S. perspective, you know, sanctions haven't really worked, in part, again, because the Chinese border with North Korea is rather porous. If President Trump tries to put pressure, more pressure on China, trade sanctions on China, that may or may not work because China has a lot of other places where it trades, but it certainly would provoke anger from the Chinese government and could have unintended consequences in the China-U.S. relationship. So the question also is, how much does President Trump want to play brinksmanship with China, recognizing that China's military is stronger than it once was, that China is, if not an equal of the United States at this point, it's a lot closer to that than it was when this nuclear crisis with North Korea began in the 1990s. And so I think the Chinese are looking at the bluster. I mean, I think they see it as bluster coming from President Trump, particularly on his Twitter feed, and saying, you've got to be serious when you deal with us. And, we have to talk together about what our separate interests are in this matter, and we have to work together to move forward in a way that serves the interests of all of us.
Mary Kay Magstad, she covered China for years. She now hosts the podcast, Whose Century Is It? Thanks, Mary Kay.
Thanks, Carol.